Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte here. Time for Hands on Mac and some final thoughts about Apple's M1 laptops coming up next. Hands on Mac comes to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Whether employees are working in the office or remotely, visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
The M1 Macintosh, it's here, boys and girls, and I've been using this now for a while, about a week. Very impressed with it. It is everything people have talked about, everything it's cracked up to be. But I think I want to mention, because this is a show for Mac lovers, Mac users, I want to mention what I see as the future of Macintosh. And actually, I want to start with a little reading, if you don't mind. One of my favorite authors in the whole wide world is Neal Stephenson. Maybe you've read Cryptonomicon or many of his other great books. He is Seven Eves, The Fall, Anathem, Quicksilver, the Quicksilver trilogy. He is one of my all-time favorite authors. But he's also a very astute observer of technology. And he wrote a book that some years ago, I think it's about 20 years old now, called In the Beginning Was the Command Line. And he talks about operating systems and computers. And I want to read a couple of paragraphs from that, because I think it's a really good encapsulation of the history of some of our favorite platforms. So if you don't mind, and with apologies to Neil, I recommend you get the book because it's a great book. There's a lot more in it. I highly recommend, even though it's a little dated, In the Beginning Was the Command Line, is well worth buying. He starts off, he says, imagine a crossroads where four competing auto dealerships are situated. One of them, Microsoft, is much, much bigger than the others. Remember, this is 2000. It started out years ago selling three-speed bicycles, MS-DOS. These were not perfect, but they worked, and when they broke, you could easily fix them. There was a competing bicycle dealer next door, Apple, that one day began selling motorized vehicles, expensive but attractively styled cars with their innards hermetically sealed, so that how they worked was something of a mystery. The big dealership responded by rushing a moped upgrade kit, the original Windows, onto the market. Now it's 35 years ago. This was a Rube Goldberg contraption that, when bolted onto a three-speed bicycle, enabled it to keep up just barely with Apple cars. The users had to wear goggles and were always picking bugs out of their teeth, while Apple owners sped along in hermetically sealed comfort, sneering out the windows. But the micro mopeds were cheap and easy to fix compared with the Apple cars, and their market share waxed. Eventually, the big dealership came out with a full-fledged car, a colossal station wagon, Windows 95. It had all the aesthetic appeal of a Soviet worker housing block. It leaked oil. It blew gaskets. And it was an enormous success. A little later, they also came out with a hulking off-road vehicle intended for industrial users, Windows NT, which was no more beautiful than the station wagon and only a little more reliable. Since then, there's been a lot of noise and shouting, but little has changed. The smaller dealership continues to sell sleek, Euro-styled sedans and to spend a lot of money on advertising campaigns. They have had going-out-of-business signs taped up in their windows for so long, they've gotten all yellow and curly. The big one keeps making bigger and bigger station wagons and ORVs. On the other side of the road, two competitors have come along more recently. Now, this will show you how dated it is. One of them, B Incorporated, is selling fully operational Batmobiles, like BOS. They are more beautiful and stylish even than the Euro sedans, better designed, more technologically advanced, and at least as reliable as anything on the market, and yet cheaper than the others. And gone. Just shows you can make something better, doesn't mean it's going to win. Neil goes on, this is again from In the Beginning Was the Command Line, to talk about Linux, with one exception, that is, Linux. Remember, this is a crossroads. There's four dealerships. Linux is right next door, and it's not a business at all. It's a bunch of RVs and yurts and teepees and geodesic domes set up in a field and organized by consensus. The people who live there are making tanks. These are not old-fashioned cast iron Soviet tanks. These are more like the M1 tanks of the U.S. Army, made of space-age materials and jammed with sophisticated technology from one end to the other. But they're better than Army tanks. They've been modified in such a way that they never, ever break down. They're light and maneuverable enough to use on ordinary streets and use no more fuel than a subcompact car. These tanks are being cranked out on the spot at a terrific pace, and a vast number of them are lined up along the edge of the road with keys in the ignition. Anyone who wants can simply climb into one and drive it away for free. Customers come to this crossroads in throngs day and night. 90% of them go straight to the biggest dealership and buy station wagons or off-road vehicles. They don't even look at the other dealerships. Of the remaining 10%, most go and buy a sleek Euro sedan, pausing only to turn up their noses at the Philistines going to buy the station wagons and off-road vehicles. If they even notice the people on the other side of the road selling the cheaper, technically superior vehicles, these customers deride them as cranks and halfwits. The Batmobile outfit sells a few vehicles, that's the BOS, to the occasional car nut who wants a second vehicle to go with his station wagon, but seems to accept, at least for now, that it's a fringe player and never will be. The group giving away the free tanks, Linux, only stays alive because it's staffed by volunteers who are lined up at the edge of the street with bullhorns, trying to draw customers' attention to this incredible situation. A typical conversation going something like this. Hacker with bullhorn: save your money! Accept one of our free tanks. It's invulnerable. It can drive across rocks and swamps at 90 miles an hour while getting 100 miles to the gallon. Prospective station wagon buyer: I know what you say is true, but I don't know how to maintain a tank. You don't know how to maintain a station wagon either. But this dealership has mechanics on staff. If something goes wrong with my station wagon, I could take a day off work, bring it here, pay them to work on it while I sit in the waiting room for hours listening to elevator music. But if you accept one of our free tanks, we'll send volunteers to your house to fix it for free while you sleep. Stay away from my house, you freak. But can't you see that everyone's buying station wagons? All right, you got to buy the book. It's great. In the beginning was the command line. Neil, I apologize. Neil, later in life, said, I was wrong about the Mac. It has many of the advantages of Linux. But the reason I'm reading you this parable, even though it's old, 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 is, with the exception of BOS, it's still kind of true. You got your station wagon buyers using Windows 10. You got your nose in the air yuppies buying Macintosh, and you got your hippies using Linux. After using this M1 Mac for a while and thinking about this and thinking about what Neil wrote, I have to say I have one impression. It's a little saddening for me. One of the reasons I love the Macintosh, and one of the reasons I do Hands on Mac and Mac Break Weekly, is because I am such a fan of what the Macintosh represented as the computer for the rest of us, as a computer that was kind of like Linux. It had Unix as its underpinnings. It was highly customizable. There was a lot you could do with it. But as time has gone by, and for good reason, Apple has kind of started to lock this down more and more. There's some question about, for instance, whether you'd ever be able to put Windows or even Linux on this beautiful hardware ever again. The M1 chip is Apple's own chip, is proprietary. And it seems, even Linus Torvalds said, I'd like to put Linux on it, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. It seems like Apple is kind of pulling up the ladder and saying, look, this is a great experience. We're going to make it highly secure, but it's an appliance computer. If you want to do the things that we specify are okay to do, if you want to run applications that are notarized, that are approved by us, or better yet, even made by us, it's going to run great. But if you want to do anything off the rails, off the beaten path, this is getting to be less and less of a platform for you. Windows still is somewhat open to third-party stuff. It's not quite as locked down. Maybe Microsoft would like to make it that way, but there's a problem. There's too many people making the hardware, and so Microsoft can never lock Windows down entirely. They have to support hundreds of other companies that are making PCs. Apple can really lock this down. They're the only people make the hardware, and that includes the CPU, the motherboard, the hard, everything, and the operating system too. And then there's those hippies building tanks out in the field in their yurts and their RVs. And you know what? If you want to kind of go your own way and control your destiny, I think that's going to be the future. And less the Mac is going to be the future. And that makes me a little bit sad because I'm a big fan of the Macintosh. I really am. There's another thing that makes me kind of sad. This is the last episode of Hands on Mac. Not because of that, but as we come to the end of the year, next week is Christmas, the week after New Year's. Thanks to market conditions, which have changed considerably thanks to COVID-19, we are starting to shut down some of the shows on the Twit Network. We're trying to simplify, streamline. We've had some layoffs. The advertising just isn't there to support all the shows we want to do, including, I'm sad to say, Hands on Macintosh. Now, the good news is we're going to continue to do iOS Today. We're going to continue to do Mac Break Weekly. And whenever there's something I really need to talk about, like this M1 Mac, we still have Hands on Tech, and we will absolutely do shows about the Macintosh on all three of those venues. But we're not going to do Hands on Mac anymore. This is your last episode. If you want to keep subscribed to it, who knows? Maybe from time to time I'll push something down the pipe to you. But we won't be making weekly episodes anymore. I'm sorry. But thank you so much for being with me for, well, how many episodes have we done? It seems like quite a few. This was, what, episode 39. I feel like I could do many, many hundreds more. And maybe if the world were a little bit different, I would be. But for now, we're going to have to say see you next time. I'm Leo Laporte. Bye-bye.
Want more Twit? Well, you gotta check out iOS Today. It's the show where Leo Laporte and I talk about everything to do with iOS, iPadOS, tvOS, watchOS. It's all the devices, all the best apps, games and services, everything in between, plus a whole lot of laughter. Twit.tv/iOS for iOS Today.